Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your wet breathing becomes labor, struggling to find enough oxygen to keep you going. Your heart rate is up. Everything is on edge. You don't know what to do. You can't see in front of you. You can't see a way out. You're trapped. Suddenly, you find yourself depending totally on the needs of others to rescue. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. And then finally, after what seems an eternity, you hear and you realize that they're coming. They're coming. And you hear their voices. And you scream, "Come! Come quickly!" And then they break through the wall and your rescuers have arrived. This is a description from a person who was trapped in a coal mine accident. It was used by Dietrich Bonhoeffer in one of his writings about Advent. And it impressed me as a very good way to talk about Advent. I don't know if I followed it that way or not. I know I've never been in a mine accident. I have been, when I was doing Appalachian studies, taken down in a mine in West Virginia. And as they always do, anytime they get you in a dark place, they turn the lights out on you. You know. And you can't see the fingers in front of your hands. You can't see anything. You don't know where to go, how to get out. I can only imagine what it must be like to be so dependent on someone else to rescue you. The person who wrote, that Bonhoeffer was quoting, went on to say, and then once you hear that tapping, then you get excited. And when they finally break through, you cannot but overcome with joy and happiness that you have been rescued. All your ills. This is Advent. That is a parable that describes what Advent is all about. We have these alarming lessons to remind us that there are times when there are extreme levels of danger, and being trapped in a coal mine is. But I'm here to remind you that all of us fit that description. According to the Bible, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we're honest with ourselves and not listening to the little spin doctors in our heads, we know that basically we are here by the grace of God and the grace of God shown through other people for us. Now it's easy, and I've fallen into it too. I'm feeling kind of self-sufficient, you know. I'm in charge of the universe and I can take things for myself. It's an illusion. And occasionally accidents, things happen, and I'm reminded, as I'm sure you all are, that in essence, it's a thin little disguise that keeps us from being destitute. We are all dependent every day in every way on the grace of God and His mercy. Sometimes that may be physical danger, and it can also be emotional and spiritual danger. Question being that Advent poses for us, are we listening for the We're listening for where God may be at work in the world. For as I mentioned in Advent, we look to the past to get examples. We look to the future in hope, and both of them should inform where we are in the present. Do we see ourselves as in need of mercy and grace and rescue? That's the first thing that Advent tries to pound into our heads with these lessons, is that we are. We are all people, despite the illusions we may create for ourselves, who are dependent upon God and others for everything that we have. And if so, and we hear the little tappings, how can we not get excited? How can we act nonchalant about the grace of God shown to us this day and every day, and the goodness that people sometimes, not always, sometimes show to us? It can be a large event. Be very small of it. When you're going Christmas shopping and people are pushing and shoving and you drop something and someone stops and helps you pick it up, it's a moment of grace. When someone you know is mad at you for something, has enough grace to forgive you and listen to what you have to say, it's a moment of grace. We are bombarded. If we have ears to hear and eyes to see with, that God is becoming visible in the world through others for us and through us for others. The acts of kindness that the youth group are doing, for example, and buying gifts for kids, They may never see the result, but you do not know the effect you will have on someone else who hasn't seen a lot of mercy and grace when someone does. But you see, it's easy to miss unless you're listening. So too, Advent tunes our frequencies, guides our hearing and our seeing and our being to try to be alert for where is God today? Where is God? November 28th, 2021 AD. If we take the gospel seriously, we believe that God is present, not only here in worship, but when we walk out that door. The way we live, the people we encounter, those moments of grace, but we can be running around so much that we don't hear. But if we recognize who we are, people dependent on grace, then we yearn. We yearn to hear the tapping. We yearn to see signs of God's visible in the world. We stretch ourselves to be open because it comes at surprising times. Do you notice in our gospel lesson for today? It's in the midst of the beginning. Again, it's that beginning. We don't want to get too much into when the world's going to end because we don't know. But the beginnings, and there's plenty of strife around us, that every day is the beginnings of the end of the world in one form or another. It is in those times, in small ways, and sometimes large ways, that God is present. Who was Jesus speaking to? Who was Jesus always speaking to? The disadvantaged, those left behind, those in their society who were not recognized and valued. To them, Jesus proclaims good news. Maybe he does that first with them because they're actually listening for something. They know they need things. And so they're more open to hear it. I hope this Advent will be a season in which you and I retune, recalibrate, whatever it takes, so that we're listening for the tappings, the first signs of God involved in small and large ways of the world around us, and that we allow ourselves to celebrate as though we were trapped in a mine and suddenly, unexpectedly, been released. Because that's what God's grace and mercy has done for us, is doing for us, and will always do to us. Give us hope in the midst of times when we're not hopeful. Give us the ability to care for one another, that we might be visible signs of the kingdom. Our hands, God's work, our national church puts it. That's a good way to look at it too. But it's this hopefulness that I also hope springs up in the season of Advent. Martin Luther, once preaching on this very text, in the middle of a cold, early December in Germany, and the part of Germany he lived in could get pretty darn cold, trust me, I've been there in April, and it was cold then, said, "Spring is here. The trees are returning. New life is springing forth from the earth." He didn't mean it literally, but he meant that the words of hope are like the seeds in the soil, slowly and visibly beginning to sprout and come up, not yet visible. Only those who have ears to hear and eyes to see can see it happen. So this Advent, are you listening? Do you hear it? God's grace and mercy is coming. Lift up your heads. Celebrate. Be part of God's presence in our world. Receive it from others and give it to others. Because I hear those tappings. Amen.